Bible to the book of Jeremiah and chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. And in our study of Jeremiah, it is relevant because Nebuchadnezzar is at this point at the the gate of Jerusalem. He's very close. And he's going to take the city. And God has given him the city because of the unbelief of the children of Israel. And thus, in the process of that, so here we are in our country, and there's many things that are not right anymore, and we have enough deviation from going straight to going crooked. And as we go crooked, just think of an angle, and the angle, a little angle like that, looks little. But as time goes on, it gets very big, very big. So we're moving now along like this. And the whole system globally is in a state of flux, movement, commotion. Now, so in the light of that, here's Jeremiah. And remember, we share together, he in chapter 10 and verse 19. Remember now the conditions and the consequences that are going to occur because of the unbelief are unchangeable. And therefore, Jeremiah says, I have to carry. I can't escape what's going to happen at all. It's inevitable. It must happen. Now, having said it must happen, and I have to live with it, I have to bear it and carry it in the middle of it. So what do you do, Jeremiah? Well, we share together in verse 24, in the light of humanity. In verse 24, O Lord, correct me, but with judgment. And so he pleads with God. He doesn't break. He doesn't dishonor what God has already so told him. And remember now, just for the sake of reminding us, Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 16. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not bear, I will not hear thee. So God isn't going to go and answer if you're going to say, make Nebuchadnezzar go away. Earlier, they could have said, make Nebuchadnezzar go away. But they can't anymore. It's all set in cement. So you can. So Jeremiah, are you going to break? No, I'm going to pray, but I'm not going to ask God. I'm not asking God to go and stop what he has to do. That would be like saying, stop the tribulation. You can't stop the tribulation. You can't stop the coming of age with all the migration and all of that taking place. You can't stop the resultant rise of an ever-increasing need, ever-increasing, for a man somewhere over there to rescue them. Someone please stand up that can put this together. That'll be the Antichrist. So you can't change that. No, can't change it. But, Jeremiah, you're going to stand there, and back over to chapter 10 for a minute. In chapter 10, verse 24, he prays, correct me. That's singular. He doesn't say correct us. He says correct me. Not us. Correct me. Now, what you want to keep in mind, over to chapter 5, and in verse 1. run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, all the big, small, large city plazas, malls, whatever. If you can find a man, if there be any that what? Executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will what? I will pardon it. One man. Remember, Abraham, if there be 10 in Sodom, 10 righteous people, would you hold off clobbering Sodom and Gomorrah? Yes, I would. With one man. Now, back over to chapter 10. And if I may, in chapter 10 and verse 24. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment. Correct me, but with judgment. And remember, the word connect means to bind, to tame, tame, restrain. It's used of training a young bull, a young animal, taking a young bullock, animal, and training the animal, taming it, training it, discipline. Correct me. And in doing so, God, here I am, instruct me, correct me, administer discipline to me, cause me to be chastened, to be instructed. O Lord, correct me, but, how you? I'm asking you to do something, God, to correct me, discipline me, but with the instrument of what? What do you, God, what kind, Jeremiah, what kind of paddle do you want God to use? I want him to use judgment. I want him to discipline me with judgment. That's what I want. Now, and if I could find a man, and here's Jeremiah looking, here's all Israel unbelieving, here's the priests, the prophets, all of them out there false, most part. And Jeremiah is saying, God, instruct me, discipline me in and with your judgment, your wonderful judgment. And the word judgment means to bring matters to the rule of right. The right, a judge who judges righteousness, a righteous judge, somebody who judges, God's exclusive right to judge, his right to do right, to be right. And we share together in the light of that to remember it. Genesis 18 and 25. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And that's a key principle all through history. When you look to God, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Righteousness. I'm looking for somebody. Correct me, O God, in judgment. In your righteousness. I want it to come out right. I don't want it to come out wrong. I don't want you to accommodate me. I don't want you to alter the things in the situation, the conditions that would make it come out wrong. I want it to come out right. And thus, God, correct me, but with judgment. Bring matters to the rule of right. Now, over to chapter 46. Chapter 46. And picking up, if I can, just to get the flavor of it, God, he understands, Jeremiah is looking for what? Mercy. He's looking for God's mercy, as you know. Now, here in Jeremiah 46, verse 28, among other things, fear thou not, O Jacob, my servant, saith the Lord. Why? For I am with thee. I will make a full end of all nations, whether I have driven thee, captivity. But I will not make a full end of thee, Israel. But correct thee, in measure is the word judgment or righteousness. I'm going to correct you. What are you praying, Jeremiah, smartly? I'm not praying for God to stop everything. I'm praying for God to deal with me to make it come out right, not wrong. That's safe. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Absolutely, absolutely. So now, and in measure or in righteousness with judgment, yet will I not leave thee wholly unpunished. You're going to get clobbered, but you're not going to get clobbered. How's that? You're just going to get clobbered, but not clobbered like that. I'm not going to put you out of business, but I'm going to give you a lesson you won't forget. And they didn't. Just ahead reminding you and myself that the 70 years in Babylon captivity, the Assyrian captivity 100 years before that about, Israel never went back to idolatry. They aren't idolatrous today. You don't hear Israel getting into Mormonism, and all, that doesn't mean individuals don't, but as a people, they're Orthodox Jews, conservative Jews, liberal Jews, and they're Jews. They aren't going anywhere. But God taught them a lesson, but they left out God in the process. That's where they did wrong. They didn't come out good. So now, in the light of that, in judgment, correct me. It's proper and right. And God, you aren't going to do it because Israel is, you see, you promised Abraham, Isaac, Jacob that they would be forever a nation. And they're going to be. So you can't, you get rid of them no matter what you do. I had a right opportunity to share with a Jewish doctor the other day. And in the process of that, he had said that he read our ad on Sunday, for Saturday, on the Mideast thing. He said, I really appreciate that. And so we got talking a little bit about God and Israel and God. I said, no matter what happens, Israel's going to survive. It's going to have a terrible time, but it's going to survive. God has it. It's the way it's going to be. And God's going to survive. Israel. He's going to keep Israel. Now, having said that little bit, so Isaiah, Jeremiah 46:28, I'm not going to make a full end of you, but you're going to be punished. And so now, over to chapter 30 of Isaiah, again. Chapter 30 of Isaiah. Remember now what Israel didn't do. Chapter 30. And picking up, please, as just to in the light of the context, verse 15, 30, 15, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And you wouldn't do it. No, they didn't. They didn't. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore will we flee, and we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. So in other words, you're going to try to use your own system to escape. And that which you're trying to run from, they're going to have, if they just think of riding a horse, and you're going to be riding a horse to escape the enemy. And God said, I'm going to make the horse faster of the enemy than your horse. So as you run on your horse, I'm going to make the enemy's horse run faster than your horse, and the enemy's going to catch you. You can't do that. I'm telling you, God said, you aren't going to win. How you do it? So now, verse 18, now therefore will the Lord wait, intensive, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, and that he may have God. What are you waiting for? Well, I'm waiting for the outworking of all of this, the punishment, and then the recovery. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted as he waits. That, how's he going to be exalted? Well, he's going to have mercy upon you. Mercy. What are you looking for, Jeremiah? I'm looking for mercy. Correct me in judgment and your righteousness. And what are you going to do? Well, you're going to exercise mercy when you do that. And for the Lord is a God, verse 18, of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. So, God, here you are, leading, moving, directing, and they're going down the corridor of time, and they just aren't going to trust you. They're going to end up in captivity. But you're going to let it all happen, and God, you are going to be merciful. So Jeremiah, what are you looking for? I don't know how my situation is going to work out. I don't know how it's going to go, whether I will live or die. But I know this, shall not you do right, God, and I want you to correct me in and with your judgment. I want to be one man among all of them that wants your judgment. I want rightness. I want you to come out honored and glorified. Now, Psalm 103. And in Psalm 103, we're going to pick up our words. Psalm 103, and picking up, please, in verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger. Now, the word anger, remember, is going to be found in Jeremiah 10 and 24. God, correct me in your judgment, but please don't do so in anger. Now hang on to the word, because here it is. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and slow to anger, but plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. But, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so is great is his mercy toward them that fear him. So God, you're not looking at our humanness and our actions and our words, our good things and our bad things. You aren't looking at them. So God, how are we going to come out of this? Correct me in rightness. God, exercise your mercy in your judgment. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Verse 12. Verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And God, like Jeremiah 10 and 23, Jeremiah said, you know that us humans, you know us humans are awful, faulty, and frail. You know that. And God, you certainly do. So you don't want to come and say, God, we're failing, we're weak. God already knows that. And in fact, here it is, verse 14. Why does he pity us? For he knoweth our frame, verse 14. He remember that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. They're here today and gone tomorrow. And why God says other all kinds of places? Why are you trusting a human that breathes? Why would you trust anyone that breathes, that depending on the next breath to live? Now, what kind of security is that? You're trusting somebody, the minute they don't get the air, they're dead. What a silly thing to do. Now, and thus, yes, for the wind passes over, verse 16, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But, verse 17, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness, the righteousness that goes with the mercy, the judgment, rightness, unto the children's children. So God, you want to hand something on? You can hand them $7 zillion, or you can hand them a righteous life. Yours. Your righteous life. A legacy. Your life. Your example. How you lived. How you died. Your example. That's the greatest thing you could give them. Wow. Anyone. So now, our society. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, back over to Jeremiah. And in chapter 10, remember we read in Psalm 107 and verse 8, anger, slow to anger. So now, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 24. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. God, don't do it in your anger. Now the word anger, without taking time to go, in Exodus and Deuteronomy and all of that, it has to do with the snorting of the nose. The nose, the nostril, nose, nostril, face. Looking out, the face looks out, anger, by way of the nose, the nostril. And it's used of what? If you just can imagine in your mind, if you're out in an open field on one nice sunny day, and you're standing there, and you're looking out at everything, and looking at everything out there, and there, just to the right of you, is a great big bull. And the bull isn't eating grass right now. The bull is moving its foot, and it's got its head down, and it's snorting. I don't want to snort. I don't know that I can snort. I probably could snore, but I can't snort. Anyway, got the idea. The snorting. Think of a bull. Now, what would you be thinking when you saw this bull pounding the turf and snorting and moving, and he's looking straight at you? Would you be concerned? That's the word, anger. If you can remember that, you've got the word, anger. Don't judge me. Don't exercise your anger. Don't do it in, correct me in thine anger. Slow to anger. Slow. And God uses it over and over again. Let me show you now in Jeremiah what, here's the days going by in Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is in the temple now. He's still in the temple outside the gate, outside the entrance. And he's telling everyone that goes in and out, he's giving them this message, these messages. From chapter 7, 8, 9, and 10. 10 is the end of the temple discourse. He stops the temple work. Up to then, he's standing in the temple. 8, 9, and 10. Coming in and out, he's talking to them. Now, in the light of that, and so he's been telling them. And Jeremiah says, remember, God, correct me. Not that they need correcting, but I need correcting. I need the instruction. I'm open for the instruction. I want the instruction according to your judgment. I want it to come out right. And in order to come out right, it's going to come out with mercy. And boy, do I need mercy, God. They need mercy, but they aren't talking to you. I am. So God, here I am looking to you, and do judge me in righteousness, mercy, not according to your anger. Are they, God, what are they facing? They're in trouble with your anger. Over to chapter 2, Jeremiah chapter 2. And picking up, please, you'll catch it quickly, if I can, in verse 35, 2:35. Yet thou sayest, remember, looking now to follow their thinking, yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. God's snorting at me, angry like that bull, but God isn't going to attack me. God isn't going to do that. I'm innocent. That's what Israel said. What do we ever do to you, God? Nothing. His anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead with thee because thou sayest, I have not sinned. So, you're saying, we didn't do anything wrong, we haven't done anything wrong, we aren't guilty of anything, what do you want us to feel bad about, what do you want us to confess? We didn't do anything wrong, you don't need to correct us. No. Chapter 4, in chapter 4, picking up, please, and directly in verse 8. For this gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl, have a real moving of repentance. For, you better, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. The bull is attacking. The bull is going to attack. It's in the process of attacking. Nebuchadnezzar is coming down. Chapter 4, verse 26. 4 and verse 26. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. His fierce anger. The bull attacked. Nebuchadnezzar is going to level the city. God's going to allow it. Verse 27. For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be made desolate, yet I will not make a full end of you. Israel, you aren't finished, but you're going to go through a whole lot. Chapter 7. And in verse 20. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man, upon beast, upon the trees of the field, upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall be burned, and shall not be quenched. It's not going to stop. It's not going to stop. And if we kept going ahead in Jeremiah, he's going to say it again and again. I told you, it's not going away. You're going to get clipped. And they just wouldn't listen. So now, in the light of that, now, God, in the light of this anger business, over with me, please. Oh, let's look at Moses first, since he's older. Psalm 90. Psalm 90. We're looking at anger. The bull, the snorting. God. And God isn't turning back. Jeremiah says, don't hit me. I want rightness. But the people don't want it. No. Chapter Psalm 90, picking up Moses. Moses is the author, penman of it, I should say. And here in Psalm 90, may I pick up in the light of that in verse 7. For we are consumed by thine anger, there's your word, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before us, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. And remember, here's Moses in the wilderness and in their unbelief for 40 years. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet in this is their strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So, in thy anger, now sliding down, if you can, to verse 11. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. When you're angry, boy, it isn't going to come out good. Not going to come out good. Nope. In the tribulation, God, you're going to exercise not grace, but wrath. And if you want to know what the anger and wrath of God is like, start reading chapter 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 of Revelation. You want to know what that's like. You want to know what that's like when God lets it go? Wow. Now, so God, so what are we going to do in the light of, in the power of thine anger, verse 11? So teach us, verse 12, to number our days. Teach us to number our days. What for? So that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. God, we want to learn something. So you gave us another day. We were able to get out of bed and do whatever. God, will you teach me to learn something? I gave me another day. I don't want to go another 10 years before I learn anything. I don't want to do that. I don't want to have to go through who knows what, when, where, how. I don't want to do that, God. I want to learn. Would you help me, God? I'm headed towards you, God. And I got to have my heart right. Moses, are all right. Moses, you're all right. And Aaron, you're all right. Joshua, Caleb, Miriam. But boy, there's a whole lot of people that aren't all right. So now in the light of Moses telling us to pay attention, over, if you would, to David, Psalm 6:1. Psalm 6, and in verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me, correct me, but in thy judgment. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger. David, that's the same thing Jeremiah is going to say. That's right. And David precedes Jeremiah. He follows Moses, but he precedes Jeremiah. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. On the contrary, verse 2, have mercy upon me, O Lord. Why? For I am weak, O Lord. Heal me. You know I'm as the flower of the field. You know I'm a vessel of dust. And my bones, verse 2, O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? God, David, you're looking. I am. And God, I need your help, but God, please don't do it in your anger. Your anger isn't going to come out good at all. Not at all. Chapter 18, Psalm 18. David, did you understand God's anger? Yes, he did. This is a great place to catch it. When he looks to God, David, you understand God? Wow. No. Psalm 18, picking up, please. Oh, in verse 8. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils. Remember the nostrils? Anger, the breathing, the nostrils, the face, the snorting of the bull. David, what are you saying? And well, I'm looking at God. Wow. There went up smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. Sliding down. Verse 13. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattereth them. And he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. Anger. God, I have a sense of you. He had a wonderful sense of God's power. He did. Power. And God, when you want to do something, can you do it? If you want to make a storm, you want to make a tidal wave, you want to make something, boy, can you do it. And he can. He sure. David, we need to understand that. God, you're a wonderful God, an awesome God. That's correct. Now, Psalm 145. And David again. Psalm 145, picking up, please, and see how David's doing. Psalm 145, and in verse 8. The Lord is gracious, 145:8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger. That's what we got in Psalm 103. Slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. Why are they going to bless thee? Because they got clobbered. They're going to be blessed because in the judgment of God, in correcting their life, they had the mercy of God on top of it. And they came out all right. They came out all right. Judge me, correct me, O God, according to your rightness. God, make it come out right in the light of all the wrong, as we read in Ezra and Nehemiah. Now, having said that little bit, correct me. Over, if you would, correct me. I don't want to do the next part. I have to hold that. So. Over, if you would, please. Picking up, in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Now, what do we know? Well, God, you're going to correct Israel, and you're going to honor Israel. Is that true? That's true. And Romans chapter 1, and you would recall in 1 and 16, Romans chapter 1, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or the Gentile. So the Jews have got first shot. They're the people of God, and the people of God ought to know God and honor God. But they didn't do very well. Jeremiah does well. The remnant does well. But the people themselves aren't there yet. And there we find Israel even today in unbelief as a nation. Now, in the light of that, God, you have a wonderful future for them, though. They're going to get clobbered. Uh-huh, they are. Chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, remember. And in God clobbering Israel, God's going to do something wonderful. And that's where we fit in. And you will notice, please, in chapter 11, verse 25, 11 and 25. For I would not, brethren, believers, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. What is that? That you should be wise in your own conceits. Don't get proud about this. That blindness in part has happened to Israel. Right now they're in unbelief, doing and you and I, Gentiles, are benefiting. Until, don't get proud of, be humbled, happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Until God adds and finishes, like we, here we are in the church age, to get saved, wonderfully saved. Now, that's a wonderful thing to get saved. And God, you're going to fulfill Israel's, you're going to help them, but they're going to go through whatever, but they're going to be blessed. And they're going to be a blessing to the world. That's true. Now, here we are in the process, though. Here we are, God, over to 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, and in verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin where? At the house of God. Where does it begin? To the Jews first. The Jews are going to get clipped first, then the Gentiles. I start with the people that have the most knowledge of me and the most advantage. I start with them and I'll work my way out from there. So now, God, what are you going to do? Well, judgment must begin at the house of God with the believers. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? So if we're going to get it, what about the people that don't know God? Israel, you're going to get it. What about the people out there that don't know? What about all of you that don't care? Jeremiah cares. Other people care. But the basic Jews, nope. And the Gentiles, nope. And the tribulation is made up of Jews and Gentiles in unbelief, exercising their comings and their goings. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and remember now, it is the time of wrath, and God, we're looking to it, and the tribulation is all about wrath. So Revelation 6, etc. And so it's wrath, that's right. And God, what have you done? Well, I've done something wonderful for you. Wonderful. So God, I'm going to say, correct me according to your judgment with your righteousness. Am I safe? I'm looking for your mercy. I am. So now, God, having two things in mind, I want to remember. A, 1 Thessalonians. I want to remember now, God, when it comes to judgment, the Lord Jesus Christ took your judgment to Calvary's cross. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, picking up, if I can, directly in verse 10. 1 and 10. What are the believers doing in Thessalonica? They're waiting for his Son out from the heavens, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us, has delivered us, we are delivered, from the wrath to come. Israel's going to be judged, but not like the other nations. I'm going to punish them, but, be of good cheer, they're going to survive. God, here we are looking. We are not going to get it like the nations. Judgment of them that obey not the gospel? No, not going to happen to the believer. Chapter 2, verse 16. Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost, it's upon them. Wow. So the Gentiles, it's on top of them, but here's the believing Gentiles and Jews, and the wrath of God is not going to, they aren't going to face it. And as you know, in chapter 5, God is going to say it again. Chapter 5 and in verse 9. For God hath not appointed, N-O-T, appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So, God, we aren't appointed to wrath. That doesn't mean we aren't going to get clipped. If judgment begin at the house of God, we're going to get clipped. We ought to get clipped. We ought to. It's a wonderful thing. And you know, Hebrews, if you would. Hebrews in chapter 12 again. What do we know? We're going to get it. We deserve it. We want to have it. Jeremiah wanted to have it. He wanted it to come out right. And therefore, like we shared last time, Hebrews 12, picking up in verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So God, and if you endure chastening, discipline, instruction, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? If you're family, God's going to love you. And God's going to love you, he's going to chasten you. That's what he's going to do. You say, well, I'm not going to. Well, then you're going to pay for that. Because why? God's telling you in days of grace and mercy, I'm going to tell you, if you don't get it, you're missing out, and I asked you to do it. Just think of the parable of the pounds, etc. I told you to go and exercise your stewardship. If you don't do it, you're going to pay for it. I gave it to you. What do you think I came into your heart for? To make something happen. Wonderful. You never let it happen. I hold you accountable for it. You're part of my body. When I think, here's your body with all the cells and everything. And what are you going to do with the body? Well, this finger was supposed to work. I'm going to make it work. I'm going to judge it. I'm going to chasten it. I'm going to fix it. And if I don't fix it now, you can be sure at the Bema Seat of Christ, it'll be already fixed by then. You will be saved as by what? As by fire. But you'll be saved. Don't say you won't be saved. You will be saved. But by fire. By fire. God, you are a consuming fire. Wow. So God, here we are looking, and we want God, and you love us. And verse 11, while we're reading it, I read verse 10, for they verily for a few days chasten us after our own pleasure, for they're after their own pleasure, but he for our profit reasoned that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's right, it has to come out right unto them that are exercised thereby. Well, Jeremiah, do you want to get exercised? I do. I do. I do. I do. If you worked for somebody, when I used to work in engineering or whatever, and when I used to do that stuff, and I told you that 100 years ago anyway, and when I used to do that, I had a very fine boss, supervisor, superintendent, very fine. And so all of the projects we had to do design projects and all that. And then you have to turn them in to him, and he checks them all, which is very good. Because after all, it's going to go in the airplane. You don't want the airplane to crash. And that was very sobering to me, that if you make a mistake, the pilot's up in the air is going to be in trouble. And boy, that was sobering to me. I don't know about other people. I said, man, I don't want to make a mistake. Not willfully. So now, and what he would do, it became a challenge to me, because I would do everything, you know. He went so far, because we had to do the complete design, and we had to have how many bolts and screws and nuts in the itinerary. We had to have that so they could order everything. We had to do the whole thing. And so when I did, if I had 10 bolts, and 8 nuts, make believe. He would find that and circle it, and he'd send me back my big rolls of print and lay them on my desk, and I'd look at them and see all his red marks, and I'd do that each time, and I had to work at it just to get through. Man, finally to get something ever without a red mark, that was the big deal. He was a great boss. God's a great boss. And he wants it right. You should want it right. I should want it right. So correct me. Correct me in your judgment and righteousness. God, I want it to come out right. I'm not interested in collecting garbage. I'm not interested in building something that's going to, the wood, hay, and stubble that's all gone. I don't want to do that. Waste of time. Waste of time, God. Waste of my energy. I don't want to do that, God. So help me. Help me, God. Because I want it to come out right. You understand? And you look for God to deal with your heart. It's a wonderful thing. Because he what? Loves you. That's why. My boss must have cared for me a little bit. He did, actually. He did. He upped me all the time. I kept going up in the process. Wow. God, he had to care. God cares. Do you understand? God cares. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in your mind, if you would, in closing, over to 1 Corinthians. Why not? 1 Corinthians chapter. We didn't get very far. I hope you got a little bit. What did I tell you? Learn little lessons, and they pile up and get many lessons. That's what you want to do. You want to be full of the lessons. Full of the lessons. Wow. What did you learn today? Boy, what I learned today. You see? What did you learn today? See? No. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In the light of the context for communion, the Lord's table, sliding down if I can to verse 29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, unworthy manner, eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So when you take of the Lord's table, you want to have your heart right. Otherwise, you're going to have no advantage. For this cause are many weak, sickly among you, and many sleep. They've already died. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened, there's the little word, of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wow. So God, when the wrath of God, you're not going to get that. Are you going to get judgment, chastened? You are going to get chastened. You are. And by the way, I told you, if you would pay attention, if you would judge yourselves, you should what? Not be judged. So God, I'm already, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. I'm done with it, God. I'll never see that again. Ever. I'm free. Now, I got 1,000,000,000 other things, because if I say I have no sin, I would do what? I make him a liar and I deceive myself. So I have sin. But we walk in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ does what? Cleanses us from all sin. As it cleanses us from all sin, and we have a specific sin, things that we got them, that we know about, that we pop in and out of us. And in the process of that, we confess. And if we judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. So God, I'm going to be straightway with you, all the way. Correct me, O God, and correct me in and with your judgment. But keep me from thine anger, God. Because if you exercise your anger, I'm out of business. Wow. So God, thank you very much for loving us, caring. And God, we're going to pray. And it's a wonderful thing. I hope you got a little encouragement in it. God loves you. And you say, and you have to get clipped. And it is good getting clipped. I like my boss. I like people that care enough to correct me, get me straight. I want to get straight. My God. Anyway, you got the idea? Okay. Perhaps you have a particular prayer request as we go. Remember.